Hey, Wonderfuls, welcome to episode 351 of the podcast with my dear, dear friend and formal school colleague. But when I say former, I mean we are dating back to junior high. I was so, so glad to finally have her on the podcast. It was long overdue. And I hope you'll enjoy the episode. It was such fun to record. I want to just remind everyone that you still have the opportunity to participate in the JV Gift Club 2019. To participate in this book club exchange, just send an email to Chris at ChristopherRoyce.com. This is on both of our Twitter pages as well. That's Christopher and then last name Royce, R-O-Y-C-E, all one word, ChristopherRoyce.com by Friday, December 6th with your name and a mailing address. Then you are tasked with picking up a copy. It could be new, could be used, could be your old copy. I would say probably don't steal from someone else, but any other version of obtaining this book or books from when you were a teenager, favorite book, and just make sure you remember when you're factoring in your budget that it costs maybe a couple bucks to send. So take that into consideration. And then on Sunday, December 8th, if you have signed up, you will receive a name and address to send your book or books to. I'm so excited to participate in this again. It has been such a joy. I still treasure. I was given some Madeline Lingle books, unsurprisingly, to the listeners who know my love of Wrinkle in Time. And was excited to send out some of my favorites and have done so through the years. So hopefully you will participate. It is a joy. And I will talk to you guys soon. I hate to immediately ask you if you have a sense. I don't want you to brand reveal. Your mic is on, good to go, and you are all set.
Awesome. Did you just say brand reveal?
I said I don't need you to brand reveal, but could you give me a sense of the kind of product that your commercial edition will be that would be covering? Like,
I think it's health. Actually don't know.
You answered that like it was a genuine quiz show where money was at stake.
Well, by the way,
but also why would I ask that? I've never asked anyone.
Do I get one of these and I don't remember what it even is for?
Yeah,
because I feel like it's so not, who cares?
Yeah,
people are like, oh, what's it for? I'm like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. As long as it's national, as long as they're paying,
yeah,
as long as they play,
yeah,
it. Like, I don't,
yeah, seriously.
Okay,
yeah, this is, no, you're, it's happening. It's afoot.
It's happening.
Yeah, it's very much happening. Listen, here's the thing. Yeah. Very rarely do I get to have someone on that I knew.
Oh my gosh.
In my teenage years.
Yes.
You have absolutely come up on the podcast before.
Oh my gosh, I have.
The best quick go-to that I can say that ways in which it feels very natural for it to come up is that people always are like, and then when you get into like what the theater you did was,
yeah,
and stuff,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, oh no, she was the Rizzo to my Sandy.
Oh my,
I was the Sandy to her
Rizzo.
I say
that all the time. I'm like, she'll always be the Sandra D to my Rizzo. Always.
And I'm always like, I always wanted to be more of a Rizzo type, but
really?
Like I didn't get to be.
Oh,
and I was
so
like,
funny.
And Danielle was like such a, she was sort of the star of our junior high.
And I wanted to
like,
be Sandra D back then.
Did you really?
I did.
I didn't know that.
I did. But in retrospect,
oh,
I'm like, Rizzo is
so much
like
better.
So badass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, weren't
Ms.
we
Paige.
Holding mics like this on stage? Yeah. Didn't we have to like go pick up the
it's
mic?
It's weird how familiar you holding a microphone was.
I was like, what does this remind
does
me
this,
of? Even you, like the way you're holding it, I'm like, God, that looks familiar to me for some weird reason.
So
the way
weird.
You're like, your wrist is sort of bent. By the way, I have that on tape.
Oh, you do?
My mom has it somewhere.
It must be so awful. I think you've told me that before.
Terrible.
It must be
it's
so bad.
It's
but
so
I
bad.
I can remember your acting, and you were very
oh,
good.
Oh, you were fantastic, too.
We were.
We should watch it again
about
and
Michael
see
Wallace?
How.
Who?
Oh.
How about my Danny?
Your Danny. So good.
Who was
going to
oh, I remember. Yeah.
Oh, I know who he
seriously
is.
We're not, doubt it.
You never know. Morales?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael, can you come in here, please? I mean, listen, we have like And then Miss Page.
Oh, Miss Page.
Miss Page was our eighth grade. My seventh grade. Danielle's eighth grade theater person.
You just missed Copley.
I had just missed Copley.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And were you bummed about that?
Oh, yes, I was. Because everyone was lamenting her going.
She was so
And then the amazing. People that came in were two teachers.
Who was the drama teacher? I don't remember.
Well, Miss Page was the drama teacher. Okay. And then Ms. Williams was the musical theater person, but I don't think you were in musical theater.
I was.
I think Copley left, and you're like,
Why did we do Grease for drama? Why wouldn't we have done that for musical theater?
Well,
class.
That's a good question. Because for musical theater, what I remember, maybe it was some kind of combined. Maybe that was combined somehow.
I don't know.
It's true that I don't remember Miss Page being like, and a 1, 2, 3, 4. No. Like, I don't remember a music rehearsal with this character of Miss Page.
And Gabbage. Gabbage was gone too, right?
Yeah.
Because our sets were abysmal.
Yeah.
The sets were like, and now we're switching to, it felt like a real junior high.
Yeah. Well, it was in a cafeteria.
No, it was. Miss Copley and Gabbage, when we plays or musicals, because we wrote all the musicals using existing music from different musicals, but she would pick a theme and then we would, and then Gabbage would do all the sets, and it was really like this. And even Berenda, actually, her shows, same thing.
Yeah.
She did, what was the play? I wasn't in it, but she did, my mom still talks about it. Anne Frank.
Oh.
She did Anne Frank. But the set was incredible. And the act, I know.
Well, so that was our junior high. And that was our junior high magnet school that was for the performing arts.
Yeah.
They now have that school, of course, now has like a beautiful black box kind of theater thing. I don't know why I don't know why I went back there.
We still have a black box. We had a black box.
Well, this was like a theater, I should say black box, for a lot of people to see this, they don't have to be in the cafeteria.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Really nice, like sort of state of the art, this is a beautiful set, got like all this, what do you call it? Like it was muffeted.
Muffeted.
Like for sound, whereas look on the walls and you're like, look at that
kidding.
Material.
Oh, that's
like everything
really
was like very, yeah.
That's schmancy.
And I was like, oh, that's what a performing arts magnet.
How do you know they even have this? When did you go? Speak back at Utterback?
Oh my God, I would have had
ladies and gentlemen, Janet Varney from Hollywood, California.
When Miss Page asked me to come back here. I don't know why I was back there. For some reason I did go. But it wasn't, I don't know, maybe it's weird.
So
I have a memory
cool.
of like, I think it
would
have
there.
Been, I mean, it could have been like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. But still.
And I remember being there with someone. But
it probably
remember.
Looked so small, right?
Compared it was tiny.
To, I know, it's so funny
it
how the school looks so small.
I know.
Yeah.
I wish, that's one of the things when I think about like things that I wish I could feel when I was little. I sort of wish I could be as awed by the size of things.
Yes.
That, you know what I mean? This house is huge.
It's huge. Yeah, I still have that with some houses. But it depends. Yeah, yeah.
Just
that's
the smallness.
That's the thing that's so amazing. Yeah.
But then you went on to Tucson High, which was the natural progression.
Why didn't you do that? I don't know if I ever knew why you... Because your dad was at Rincon, is that why?
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, I think... Like, I do remember thinking, I should do this. And then I feel like my dad was like, but I mean, I will say
academics.
I do the academics, people, because you can also go to classes at UHS and you can walk to school and all of these things that suddenly were placed in front of me that kind of hadn't been a factor before.
Yeah.
I definitely responded to, but like so many of my friends went to Tucson High. Like I feel
Martha
like
and, yeah.
in large part.
Yeah.
And how was that?
What, being there without you or being there?
How did you survive it emotionally?
Well, it's always such an odd thing that you didn't end up there, but then it also made sense you went to Rincon because you're your dad.
Yeah.
But I always remember thinking, like, I wonder why Janet didn't make that move to Tucson High. I will say, though, I remember doing the test for UHS because one of my brothers, Matt.
Yeah.
Remember Matt?
Yeah.
Actually, both of my brothers. One went to Rincon, the other went to UHS.
Yeah.
And I took the test to do, because I always had a thing about I wanted to be smarter. I just wanted to be smarter. So I took the test, didn't get in. And so that's why I ended up going to, I mean, I probably would have gone to Tucson High anyway.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But I think at the time, I would have, if I had I gotten into UHS, I would have done that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wasn't smart enough.
Lesson.
Did you do the test for UHS?
I didn't. Oh, okay. I didn't. It was just one of those things where if your grades were a certain level at RinCon, you could just take, like there were just certain classes that you could take.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like in the, you know, but it was fun to, I guess it was fun because there was an, it felt like there was an extra high school full of people and a lot of people that I wouldn't have, that wouldn't have continued going to school with me.
Yeah.
I still saw because they went to UHS.
UHS. Was Sophie at UHS?
Yeah.
She was.
Yeah,
that's
Sophie
right.
was. Yeah.
That's right.
Shout out to Sophie.
And Heather. Shout out to Sophie. Sophie Ferris.
Was Heather RinCon? I thought maybe she was. No, she's probably
I can't remember
UHS.
If she was UHS or RinCon. Because, you know, I know them through Brenda, too. Through
yeah.
Tom Thumb Player. Shout out to Tom Thumb.
This is, okay.
Why were you
again,
Tom
this
Thumb?
Is, because, listen, that's this is what thing. I have. Because this is the thing, is that when I tell people, like, I use you as the example of the person you would think I would have been
yeah.
in Tucson.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you look for every opportunity to be a part of acting.
Yeah.
And, like, all these people, all these friends of mine were doing this stuff. And I think I just feel... Like, I never even thought about doing it. I never
That's
even,
so funny.
It was like it was, it already belonged to people I already knew. And somehow.
You didn't feel like you could.
I felt like that was yours. Like, not That's just so yours, but it was like, oh, if I were going to do it, I would already, I'm sure, have been a part of it.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't. But
as if I would naturally have been invited. Like, someone would be like,
yeah, yeah,
we're going to enroll
you
in this thing.
Yeah. It's funny. It's one of those things. I mean, but you were doing other cool things. I mean, it's not like
that's true.
Weren't you? I felt like you were like playing guitar and doing you and Martha. By the way, I remember going to like, I don't know if I was like, I wouldn't have been picking Martha up, so I don't understand why I have this memory, but I do have a memory. Like I like at 14 years old was like, hey guys. But I do remember like going to your guitar class, like going,
yeah.
like walking up the thing and
yeah.
seeing you guys with your guitars and
okay.
like doing the whole, were you guys in guitar that late in life at that point? I mean, because
that's a good question.
That was a younger
I did
thing,
continue
I
doing it after Carrillo, but I don't. I don't
so
remember the circumstance.
Probably,
I must have been,
yeah,
but what was
yeah.
I wasn't going back to Carrillo. I don't know.
Yeah. And why
that's
was
so
I
scary?
There? That's the even weirder part. Like, what was I doing there? That must have been junior high.
It must have been junior high.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I definitely, oh God, I'll never forget this. I mean, it's so funny the things that you bother to remember, but I remember Martha getting so mad at our guitar teacher, Mr. Lewis. And I remember her, because he had kind of a temper.
Oh, of course. Why
in like a Birkenstock bearded kind of hippie way,
yeah,
you know, where
yeah.
he would just be super mellow and then something would set him off and he would just yell for a minute. In retrospect, it was probably abusive. No.
Well, I think about because our teacher, one of our drama teachers at Tucson High, John Hemeter.
Oh, I remember that. I remember
the Vietnam
people.
Vet. I'm sure Barrett's told you stories.
Yeah.
He was a Vietnam vet and he, you know, rest in peace. But he had a couple pretty terrible,
yeah.
I guess,
Ooh.
Flashbacks. I don't know. But why are we laughing at that?
Oh, no.
That's so funny. But no, but
well, I thought you were just going to say
no,
he got angry.
No,
I didn't think you were going to like
no.
have a psychotic.
Well, I think
freak.
He did though, because yeah. one of the theaters, the little theater, was like in the basement
yeah,
of one
yeah.
of the buildings. It's this old, you know, 100-year-old building or whatever. And there were these weird, the pipes would make these weird
oh, no.
sounds. So every
oh,
once in
no.
a while, there'd be almost like a
oh,
creepy like
awful.
Bomb sound.
Oh,
but
no.
also he did have a temper because I know Barrett has some story. I don't even remember the specifics of the story, but
if anyone was going to stoke someone's temper
Barrett
it would be time
Barrett. Yeah.
yeah
well he threw a hammer at him like there was in stagecraft there was some horrible story about how they got in a fight and he threw a hammer and he almost hit him. I mean
oh
it was like
my God.
It was probably even more dramatic than what,
yeah.
how I'm retelling
I mean,
it but
that sounds
I mean that is pretty
dramatic.
I mean, you get much more dramatic than that and it lodged in his head in his skull.
I'm they sure had, it was more dramatic than a student hurling a hammer
no,
at a teacher
I know
oh a teacher
Hammeter
oh he threw it at
Barrett. Yes, he threw it at Bear. He got so angry with him, and he
that's
like,
different.
Across the,
I mean,
yeah.
they're both horrifying
both
and wrong.
Horrible, but I mean, that's
but
he
that's
could have been
very
arrested.
Different.
Yeah, I mean, Barrett could have really
what? What? And he continued teaching after that.
Yes, of course. By the way, we used to sit, my friend, you know, Aaron and I used to sit on like his lap and stuff. I mean, like I think about some of the inappropriate, I remember hanging out at his apartment.
Really?
He was a buddy. Like he was a buddy.
Oh,
but like I
boy.
Think about it now, like it's sort of like, oh, that's actually kind of,
yeah.
I never felt uncomfortable. I never felt like
oh,
he
yeah,
was
yeah, yeah.
ever,
yeah,
ever.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But I definitely like, oh, that's interesting. Like, we were hanging out. I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
And I went to, back to his apartment by myself. Not by myself. No, but with a group of us would go and we'd hang out. And I don't know what we were. I think they were.
But you never felt uncomfortable. And were there ever any rumors of like, oh, he's dating a student?
No.
Yeah. So that's
no.
very specific. That's like, I'm friends with my students kind of thing that doesn't necessarily stretch. I'm not saying it's good.
Nowadays, I think it would probably.
Nowadays, that would none of that would fly.
Would work out very well.
No.
Yeah.
No,
to
no.
be at like.
You would sit in his lap.
Oh, no. We definitely would sit in his lap. Yeah. We'd sit. We'd each sit on either leg and we'd sit and. He would talk. I remember him saying to Miranda, Miranda has a story about how he used to always tell her, you look like my ex-wife. Like that was like his big,
oh,
you know.
Boy.
By the way, I love John Hemeter. I don't want to like, you know, but yeah, I'm saying all these horrible things about him.
I love that he threw a hammer. I love John Hemeter.
And he threw a hammer. He molested us. He
That's your trauma bonding speaking. That's your trauma bonding thing. Oh, bless.
Well, I mean, there's so many stories. I mean, Copley, I'm sure you've heard stories about Copley.
Was she theater and dance? I associate
her
with
dance and musical theater.
Okay. Yeah.
And she was 4'2".
Yeah.
And her hair, she had crystal gale hair. It went all the way down her back.
Yeah.
There was always a student she would assign to brush her hair while she was sitting at the piano. I mean, she is a character. She is a character.
I didn't know that you would assign
and she
brush her hair.
She was terrifying.
Oh my God.
I mean, I was a very anxious kid, but the first 2 weeks of seventh grade, I was sick every day. I couldn't, I was so nauseous, so nervous.
Yeah.
Miranda has the same story, how she was just, I mean, we'd get so, you know, she.
And she went on to Tucson High.
She went on to Tucson High, where she didn't have the same power, which is kind of interesting. In junior high, she had a certain magical power over us.
Yeah.
And then when she moved to Tucson High, I remember noticing like, oh, it's so weird to see Copley without that same power over the students because the students were a little older and even the students she had had in junior high, you know, some of the juniors and seniors who had had her in junior high were like, yeah, right, that's not gonna fly here, you know what I mean? It was like it was really interesting. It was
a different dynamic.
But my hair, someone's got to brush my hair. No, I mean, like, that's the thing. It was really weird to see this other side and to see her not have that same power.
We still
did some fun shows, and she ended up, she was only the musical theater teacher there for a couple of years, and then she went on to sort of be the head of the program, or the head of the like arts program or something. Mm-hmm. She went more administrative, and which is
so
odd.
She wasn't,
which is funny too, because then she because I always loved her musicals, because then we ended up doing Guys and Dolls, which is sort of like, it's like every other high school, you know what I mean?
Original. I mean, I didn't know that you guys would write stuff. I guess I did know that because I remember. Seeing like pictures from the yearbook of the year before or something where like, but
we choreographed,
there was like a thing about being out at sea or something. I feel like I remember like Malik with like a, some sort of pirate hat or something.
Oh,
someone was a pirate.
Well, there was,
you might have been a pirate with like stripes.
I might have been. Yeah. Cause I know,
really trying to
cause she would have, she would have different themes. Mm-hmm. You know, there was the Wild West theme.
Yeah.
And then we would, all of the dance classes would sort of choreograph, you know, would be something like one of the themes was like Wild West, and one of the dance classes were the robbers.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was a whole like musical, whole like really cool dance number of them like getting into this, you know, getting the safe and like exploding at the end. And it was a whole, you know, but like the whole show is sort of, you know, crafted, you know, everyone wrote everything, but she kind of crafted the whole thing, you know, and they were just these really cool shows. And we would perform them at the school, but also we performed, and maybe this was just at Tucson High, but we performed at the Gaslight.
Oh,
theater.
My God.
Yeah, we would do
you
like a
really
little run.
Had the life that I should have had.
You really should have been with us.
I should have been.
Well, you know,
because
Miranda and I did a version of the Sweeney Sisters that we called, by the way, the Tweeny Sisters, which is like, wow, we were so original. So original.
That's back when you really felt like you had to be pretty on the nose.
Maybe.
About what
I mean, you'd think we tried it, but I guess we were like, no, this is what we're doing. We're stealing it from, SNL. We're taking it and we wrote our own, you know,
It was original material.
It was original. And there were three of us. It was Candace. Can't remember her last name now. So there were three of us. So we
Candace
mixed it up a little, but we still call ourselves the Tweeny Sisters. Uh-huh. Just so dumb.
Now, did you have, listen, this is a little bit on the spot, but as I just said before, did you have an awareness that you were sort of like a golden child, not necessarily of your family or of the school, but of your peer group? Everyone really
You mean
you were sort of like the you were sort of the quintessential, like, this is the, like, the talent, the funny, the warm, like, this is, like, I felt like we all sort of thought of, like, well, the, but, like, you know, like, if someone was like, who's the best actor in the school, you'd be like, oh, Danielle.
It's definitely like, me. Oh, I was definitely aware of that. No, I, not at all. No, I mean, no, I mean, I think I it's funny. No. I mean, because I'm like, are we talking about Utterback or Tucson High? But both places, I don't think I ever had a sense. I mean, there were a lot of talented people. I mean, I've always been just, you know, sort of just wrecked with insecurity. I feel like I'm never, that's not totally true, actually. I guess I'm not, I don't allow myself to ever feel good about anything. So maybe deep down inside, they'll have the aisle of times where I'll be like, oh, that really felt good, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sort of only learning to now sort of, you know, own those things, you know? But no, I don't think I ever had a sense of like,
maybe that was just me, but I know that it wasn't. So
No,
I know that it wasn't. But I don't know about, I can't speak as much to Tucson High, but I definitely, I mean, that was what you were for me. Like, I was like, oh, you know, if I could, if I was to be someone else and not myself in at that time in my life, I would have wanted to be you for sure.
That's so sweet.
No, you're so funny.
Same about
you. You were so funny. Like, you just, I just remember thinking, like, I felt like you were funny. You know, you were like at my best. That was your normal funniness.
My gosh, it's so,
and it was like
kidding.
A grown up funny. Like, I remember thinking like, oh, this, she's like, there was a maturity to your humor. I know, I've never taken this apart before.
By the way, that's so not true.
Never.
I feel like if we could sort
of
travel back in time.
The Keeney Sisters.
Just, I mean, genius. It's genius. Who could think of, I feel like if we could travel back in time and actually, because I feel like when I think back to, since all of our, like, our senses of humor back then, it was all about like this weird, like, cutting sarcasm that was actually just mean.
Oh no.
Like, there was, don't you think though? Like, we loved it.
Is that what I thought was so mature? That's
know.
So
I
sad.
I feel like we all loved it so much, but it was like, when I think back, like, and I got so much joy out of it. I know I come from a very sarcastic family. So there, you know, and I've sort of unpacked that over the years too. Cause I'm like, oh God, there's a real sickness here too. But I mean, I don't know if that's a strong word, but I remember feeling so connected to my friends, you know, with that, through that humor. But I don't know that it was necessarily like smarter humor or, you know what I mean? I don't feel like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I
would love to go back.
I always remember thought you were so funny too,
and...
but we connected in that way.
Yeah, we did.
That was one of the ways, you know, like that we were able to, that's why we loved each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you had, and then, so yeah, so that's how you knew. We both had a friend named Sophie who,
that was later on.
I went to school. I went to school with, but you had already known Sophie. From Tom Thumb.
Yeah.
So what was Tom Thumb like? It was just younger people. It wasn't like a community theater where there were adults also doing, you know, a Christmas Carol or whatever.
No, it was young. It was like teenager. I don't know how young it went. Gosh, maybe 7 to like, you know, 18.
Yeah. Was everyone all on the same class?
In the same shows.
Like,
we're all in the same shows. Yeah, no, and we would do, actually, now that I think about it, she must have had an older group because we would do the emotional prep. Have you heard about emotional prep? I'm sure
we would definitely do that in drama at RinCon, but I can't say that I would be
Brenda
able to,
Krellen's
like,
emotional prep.
Good? Oh, I don't
Brenda
know. Tell
Krellen's
me about
emotional
prep.
She would turn off the lights, have us all lay on our backs.
Same.
All
yes.
over the room.
Okay, so far so good.
Okay, so far so good. And then we would have, she would go back to a time when you were angry.
Yes, yes.
And then you'd like really sort of, everyone would be screaming. There's all these teenagers like screaming.
That
hell,
is straight up like
you?
70s cult, by
I guess
the way.
So.
Like, did you watch that thing about the Rajneeshis?
I didn't.
The ones in Oregon.
The documentary or the.
Yeah.
I
the
didn't.
Netflix. So you,
no.
should wa- you should watch
the
it.
The Duplass Brothers one, right? Is that?
Yeah, they produced it. Yeah.
Okay.
You should watch it. If for no other reason than to watch some of the like social community like healing exercises they did, because when I was watching it and like the sort of commentary of it in the documentary is like, this is some very disturbing weird stuff, and I was like, I recognize
You're
all
like,
of this.
I loved this was like the best part of my week.
People just like screaming at nothing, like just,
in the dark,
like talking to each other. It's like, I'll never forgive you, mom, like,
well,
just
this,
very,
I mean,
intense.
Were you guys on your back in the dark though? Because
we never
directed
100%.
It to anyone.
Yeah.
And then when we get to the crying part, we would all, you know, there'd just be people would be wailing and sobbing, and I don't remember little kids being
there. I was very good at the crying part, and
really?
I think I remember
I remember loving that. Well, see, I remember Brenda.
I loved emotional prep. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, man. I remember her giving, like, and this is, it makes me laugh so hard when I think about it now, because she would give us these, because that's the thing with Brenda. She was really into, like, you know, really getting down to, I mean, Anne Frank. I mean, who does Anne Frank for, you know, but she, I remember her giving us these monologues. There was one monologue in particular. I was 14 years old and it was about suicide. It was about a girl who gets in the bath, you know, she gets in the bathtub and like slits her wrists and she talks about the blood in the water and everything. And it's this really horrific, I mean, I think probably terribly written monologue. Uh-huh. And I remember doing it and getting really emotional.
Yeah.
And her big thing was like, as an actor, when you're done, you snap off. You shut it down. Which I kind of, in a way, I sort of appreciate that sort of idea of like being indulgent and sort of like, afterwards, you know, holding on to it.
I'm going home and I'm still holding it. Yeah. Right.
Or even just in front of an audience, not, you know, when she would sort of yell cut, which she never yelled cut. So I can't remember what she would yell, but whatever she would say to finish the monologue or the scene, she was very sort of stern about that. Yeah. She was like, and now you let it go. You let it go.
Interesting.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was no, you know. But I think about it now, it just makes me laugh just to imagine like what I would give to be a fly on the wall to see those scenes of these little kids, you know, sort of emoting and working on their,
That's kind of exactly, you hear the idea of like a monologue about a suicide and like, there's a reason that's the age, right? Where there's not to say that that's the age where you want to, although some do, but that's the age where you're exploring all of that dark stuff. Yeah. And you know, I think it's very magnetic in that period. I talked about this once before, but we did a really bad, I'm sure it was really bad, play about, it was called In the Middle of Grand Central Station, about
what was
like homeless, In the Middle of Grand Central Station, about like almost mole people they lived in Grand Central Station. And I played a character who lived there and like had the same kind of thing. Like it felt so good to just be like, I know this girl. I am this girl.
What is that? I think it's like there's so much angst at that age, and like to be able to funnel it into these characters and
we were lucky that we were doing theater stuff because there was this sort of channel.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. Well, I think about like one of the things Tom Thumb, we did Alice in Wonderland, but we did the experimental, like the Circle in the Square experimental. I don't know if it's Circle in the Square, but it was like the experimental version of it. So it was like Theater in the Round.
Uh-huh.
And it was really fun. She had sort of her stock, you know, plays that she would go to. And I think that was one of them. Because I think Miranda did it years before.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with Miranda, probably at Utterback, actually.
Oh, yeah. And who were you?
I was Alice, ladies and gentlemen. The golden child.
Everyone.
Of course I was Alice. Who else would I be, Janet? How could you even ask that question?
I could have seen your answer being like, I was the Cheshire Cat. Now, yes, they offered me Alice, of course. It was a straight offer. But I wanted to explore something a little more strange and wonderful.
A different side, a different character.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
This week on Bullseye, Lin-Manuel Miranda on His Dark Materials, hip-hop, and life after Hamilton.
I know it's the first line of my obituary. So if that line is handled, then what else can I do with my time here?
It's Bullseye for MaximumFun.org and NPR.
This may be a little pry-y, but I will say, too, that everyone always had a crush on you, but I don't think you ever were dating, really.
I'm loving your version of me, by the way. I really am.
This is why
I brought
you here.
It's wonderful.
I think everyone had a crush on you, but then it was like, what? But you weren't just like flitting from thing to thing.
Oh, I didn't date anyone.
Were you? Yeah.
I never dated anyone.
Yeah.
I was the most innocent. All my relationships were a fantasy.
Yeah.
I mean, I would fantasize about the guy, you know, that I would see across the hallway. And I had a whole, like... I had a whole relationship with him in my head.
Yeah.
You know, I'd go home and like listen to, did anyone else do this? Have you heard anyone else that does that?
I definitely had people that
I didn't even French kiss someone until I was like almost 17 years old. I mean, I was really a late bloomer that regard.
Yeah.
And I think it's because everything was late, you know, physically. I didn't you know, so I was just really, all of that made me really nervous. And also I was hanging out with like Martha and, I mean, the people I was hanging out with were, I mean, Martha actually had done, I'd experimented more than I had at that point, but we, our idea of a Saturday night was, you know, going back to Martha's house and, you know, I don't know.
Getting stung by a scorpion in her bed.
Exactly.
That's
Did
just
that happen to you?
It happened to her.
It happened to her.
I think twice.
Probably.
That's the kind of thing that got in my head and my body. And I could never, I mean, oh my God.
Yeah, forget it.
In her bed.
Well,
in
you
her
know about
bed.
Her whole thing that happened recently where she got stung by, or not stung. She
bit
got
by the bit, brown
yes,
goose?
Yes.
That wasn't that recent though, was it?
I mean, it was in the last, well, what's
it's
recent?
Like the last 20 years.
15 years. No, it's been 10 years.
I think it's more than 10 years.
Really?
I think so.
Oh, this is horrible. This is the thing about having a kid, is it just kind of goes like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that was
Yeah. What
recent.
A tough cookie. No, I've,
I guess
I always
when I
said
say
that
recent, I mean, it wasn't when she was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't when we were in school together or anything like that. Yeah. No, when I would spend the night at her house, I would like, if I had to pee in the middle of the night, I would be so filled with dread because they would have to climb
down the loft.
Then it would be like, do I leave the lights off so I don't have to see whatever creatures have crawled in during the day at the desert? Or do I turn the light on and just face them? And if I ever turned the light on, there was always a giant wolf spider somewhere in the bathroom. Always.
See, I never had that. My biggest memory at Martha's was just
that. And I loved her house. Don't get me wrong.
You know, like the trying to like.
Oh, yeah. You had to like mix.
And I would like, I'd run them both and then do this. You're supposed to plug it. And for some reason, plugging it always seemed, it just seemed dirty and kind of weird to do that. So I always would like do the like weird, you know.
Shuffling back and forth. Shuffling. Like, together, this will be warm water. Together, this will be warm water.
Eventually, I'll have warm water.
Yeah. Martha's parents were artists. And there was just always something like wonderful and strange being made and built and jewelry and clay, FEMO clay. And,
Martha with her FEMO. I remember the first time I went there in junior high, the first time I went to her house, seeing that table, the coffee table filled with a whole like FEMO world.
Yeah.
Like I was just so, my mind was just blown.
Yeah.
Like all those little people.
Yeah.
I still don't know how she.
I know.
I mean, I'm still just so blown
away.
And
I was so awed by her artistic prowess that when, you know, I would just try to make stuff that looked exactly like something she would make. Like I would just, you know.
I don't think I ever even attempted because I was like, I can't, I mean, there's no, I mean, she was incredible.
Yeah.
And I remember like,
she always has been.
Oh, and she still is. Yeah. She's still, I mean, it's like, it's just, she's one of those, I feel like she was like a prodigy. I feel like she was like a, she was just like a genius.
Yeah, I agree.
But never knew that about herself, you know, or maybe one of those things she did, but it had to be so buried. She could never acknowledge it, you know. But I remember like her going to like one of those summer camps, you know, like some really like at Cooper Union or some cool art school. And coming back with these incredible paintings. And I went to the airport. For some reason, I went to the airport with her parents to pick her up or something. And
that explains why you came to the guitar class.
That's it. Because I was traveling. I was with her parents all the time, running errands. A little sidekick. Joe's sidekick. but I remember us coming back to their house and her, you know, putting out all these incredible paintings that she had done all summer. And her parents were like, you know, just really sort of like critiquing.
Oh my God.
And like nothing, not one positive.
Whoa.
Not one positive came out of their mouths. Not one. And I was standing there like, oh, these are amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, these are amazing. Like I was just like, I couldn't believe how incredible. And
isn't that interesting? Because it's the idea of, you know, we all sort of imagine like, you know, oh, your dad's a doctor and then you become a doctor and nothing's ever good enough. Or like, you know, but the idea of just being like a raw creative energy and having two parents who also are and to have them sort of judge the way someone else would about like math or, you know what I mean? Just to sort of be like, yes, I'm not going to be the parent that's going to be like, everything you do is magic because I take art very seriously.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and also I think on some level too, they were limited in their ability to sort of give to Martha in those ways, to be generous with her in those ways, you know, even with affection or, you know, I think that was one of their, you know, both their limitations because of the way they were raised, you know, which is, you know, I mean, all of our parents have their limitations. We all have our limitations.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you, when you were at Tucson High, did you, was there like a thing where you guys didn't have to, I mean, it wasn't like Fame High School, but was there like, was everything else the same? Was it still like all the classes you have to take are the same? Or do you sort of get to skip out on a couple of like standard things, if you even know?
Well, it's so funny because I found a transcript. I mean, this was recently, not really 20 years ago, no, but I did find a transcript. And it was funny. I had like three academic classes on there and the rest were arts.
Oh, okay. Well,
so I did go through, I mean, I lucked out, I think, in that I was able to get into the honors and AP classes, you know, so I feel like I got a decent academic education, but But we had, you know, we had all kinds of, we had film acting, we had stagecraft, we had musical theater, we had, you know, dance, you know, modern dance. We had, there were a lot of different arts classes, you know, so, and photography, the photography there was amazing. So I feel like, in that way I was always, and then I was doing Tom Thumb out of school, outside of school too. So I was always doing, you know, several plays at once. Yeah. And that was really fun.
Were you driven by, because again, you also came to LA quickly.
Yeah.
How do you remember how early you sort of started to go, like, this is what I am going to do. This is what I know how to do.
At Utterback, probably. I mean, when I was at Utterback, I remember in seventh grade, I wanted to be a choreographer. That was sort of my thing.
Yeah.
And then by the time I hit eighth grade, I sort of realized that acting, I discovered quote unquote acting in my seventh grade year.
Mm-hmm.
I played the Big Bad Wolf. I don't know if you would have guessed that one. Right? No, probably not.
Into the
I don't know what.
Or did you write your own thing?
No, we didn't. No, this was for Brenda, and it was Martha was the fox. Actually, I'm just remembering. It was Little Red Riding Hood. I don't know what version it was. I have no idea. It must have been a kids' version because we traveled around to different schools and
there you go and
did it. But that was sort of if there was a moment, you know, that was it. I sound like such a cheeseball. Guys, it was when I played the Big Bad Wolf. And by the way, that was the title of the role, Big Bad Wolf. It wasn't Wolf. No, but I wore like this big costume and like had all this like crazy face makeup on. And I just remember loving that sort of feeling of scaring all these kids. And I was so little. I mean, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like the Rizzo thing, right? Where I see the tape of Rizzo and I'm like, I look like such a dork with like my short hair and I'm so tiny. It just looks so, you know, but I'm being this like tough ass, you know,
right.
it just doesn't work, but it really doesn't.
I would argue that it did work. It was fine work.
Yeah, it was my best work yet, really.
Oh my God.
I look back on those glory days of acting.
Well, the relationships too that I think, in particular that you formed with people at high school, like that was real, like those were like very emotional. And these people are still your friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that was
still
a really,
friends, yeah.
like deeply connective time.
It was,
you
and,
know,
and it's, I couldn't have known that at the time. I mean, it's only after I got out of high school that I realized I found my people.
Yeah.
Cause I often think about that. I think had I gone to a different high school, I might have felt like a real weirdo, you know. I wasn't that weird, but I can imagine there's so many people that don't find their people that early that do feel like outcasts or kind of something's a little off, even if they kind of fit in visually.
Absolutely.
They feel like something's amiss.
Yeah.
And I really felt like, you know, I really felt lucky for that. Cause I remember when I moved out here, I met some girls my age. I got like a hostessing job somewhere and was living with my aunt in Downey. And that was the first time that I was like, okay.
Yeah.
This is a fellow 18-year-old. I've not met people like this.
You know?
It's just a very different set of priorities. And I felt like a real weirdo. I just was like, I don't relate to these people. And, you know, because the girls I met were, it was just a different culture, I guess. You know, they really cared about their car, the car they were driving and the guy they were dating and things that I could just give two shits about, you know?
Right.
I never really cared about any of that stuff, you know, especially back then. I mean, not that I care about it now, but you know what I mean? That sounds really weird. That's now I really care.
And the hostessing job you have now, you cannot stop talking about your Camaro. And so... When you came out here, you had an aunt out here. It feels to me like even if you didn't, you would have figured out something. No, or
yes,
did you? It seemed
done?
Like you just had the drive.
Honestly,
you had the drive.
It's funny. I did. I was so driven back. I wish I could have like a little bit of that drive now. You know, I just don't. It's the drive is just that aspect. I mean, maybe I was driven by some sort of strange insecurity that I've gotten over now, which I guess would be a good thing. But no, I was really driven. I look back now and it's like, it really was not probably the smartest thing for someone like me to do, to just not have the net of college, the safety net, you know, cause it was hard. The first couple of years were really hard. I really struggled with, because all my friends were in school and I was sort of like just hanging out there, you know, on a limb, like trying to figure out what the fuck I was doing. And I don't know, when I've had, you know, friends of my mother, like clients of my mother's, my mom's a hairdresser, clients of, I feel like I'm telling the audience that, you know, my mom's a hairdresser, that felt really weird. My mother's a hairdresser. You've known her my whole life.
I call her my mother, the hairdresser.
Yeah. She's had clients sort of with daughters that have wanted to move out here as teenagers or whatever. And I've met with them, and my advice is always like, yeah, if you want to move out, great, but be in college while you're here. Like, there's no reason not to go to school.
Yeah.
I know there's some actors that would have the opposite advice. They'd be like, don't go to college, because it's a waste of 4 years. You could be getting out there. But to me, I'm sort of, I don't know, if you have an anxious personality, I would say that definitely there's no reason you can't go to school and, you know, pursue the business. Right.
I mean, 'cause you were still in touch with all of those people, like you said, they were going to school.
Yeah.
Did you have that an envy of sort of like a wistfulness of like, oh God, even just them complaining about this class that I don't have to worry
for
about,
sure,
kind of sounds.
Yeah. No,
cool.
I mean, I really felt because I told you, I always had this sort of insecurity about my intellect. That was the whole thing with UHS. I wanted to go there and be smart, you know? And so it was really hard not to be in school. I felt like I was like falling behind, and for years I felt really insecure when someone would ask me, where did you go to college? I'd be like, you know, now I don't, I mean, it's been so long. I don't give a shit, but for a while it was, I don't know, for my personality, it was just those couple of years were really hard.
Yeah.
They just were. I felt like my friends were all having this experience I wasn't having. I mean, I remember telling myself at the time, like, well, you know, I'm not interested in the social experience of college. Mm-hmm. So the only thing I'm missing is the academics, which I can get any time in my life. I could always go back to school.
Sure.
So, and I could, you know, learning is a lifelong, you know, sort of habit. So, and I would tell
all
myself
true.
These things, you know, to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
But no, it was hard. Yeah. At the time.
Where did you start to find that community here, in addition to keeping those friendships?
I got involved in some theater and was, you know, taking classes, and I found this theater. Gosh, what was it called? I don't think it's around anymore, but they just do like play readings, you know, of new plays. And I found a friend there who's one of my best friends to this day, Jolene. She has her own theater. It's not really running as much anymore because she's bi-coastal, and we did a lot of stuff at her theater. I found really great people pretty fast, you know?
Yeah.
But I still was, you know, it felt like I came out of the woods with my insecurity around that once all of my friends were out of school too. Like then it sort of felt like,
yeah,
I don't know, somehow.
It didn't feel then, yeah. It wasn't like, now I still have all the stuff to catch up on. It was like, okay, now here we are kind of all
exactly,
at the same place
exactly.
again.
Yeah, I think I was just comparing myself and feeling, you know. But also once I started working and stuff as an actor, like I think it, you know, it sort of felt like I was on some sort of track. You know, I just felt lost for a couple of years. I felt really lost.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, again, yeah. That was another thing that I was like, yeah, that's, I think in terms of like how you sort of place yourself in the universe, I think that, like, again, I would sort of look at the choices you made and I would be like, see, this is what a person who really wants to act does.
Yeah.
And I find myself not making those choices. So
I must not want to act. Yeah.
I think that's kind of what was happening for me.
Yeah.
And then I was so excited when I saw you on like Party of Five.
Oh, Party of Five.
Does that seem like, I didn't even watch that show.
That's so
it was
funny.
One of those things where I was like, I happened to see you. I was
that's
at so someone
funny.
Else's house and they watched Party of Five
so
and it came on. And so you were like the first person I ever saw that
knew
on television.
Aww.
So even that came to full, like that feels
so
of course,
funny.
Like you check that off the box of like the list of like Danielle
so
Weeks actor.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Like stuff. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Well, and it's funny too, like to, I guess we all do this with each other, but there's sort of, we have these fantasies about each other that somehow work their way into our story, like to justify certain things about us or to justify, well, that means I don't want to be an actor.
Right.
The things
we
tell ourselves that are kind of bullshit anyway, but it's such a fantasy, right?
Yeah.
It's so not like, when I think about what I was going through and how I wouldn't recommend coming right out. Like I could look at your story and go, well, gosh, I mean, you know, Janet did it right. Cause she went and got all this great experience and like, got to like, you know,
work
like
at a miniature store. Yes, yes, yes. Sure.
The experience of living in San Francisco, which I always thought would be so fun. Like I've always wanted to live in like San Francisco or New York.
Well, didn't they live in San Francisco on Party of Five?
I got to play pretend. I got to pretend even better. But yeah, you know, like I mean, I've been in LA this whole time. You know what I mean? And sort of like once you're here, you sort of feel like you can't leave in a way. I mean,
have you had the experience of feeling like it's a bunch of different LAs, like as your time here goes on? Because that is one thing about it, is it,
yeah.
You can either feel like sort of, oh, this is a community that I'm sort of stuck in, or you can feel like it just keeps turning over into something different.
Definitely. Because this is by far the longest I've ever lived somewhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, and now I'm living in a totally different part of town. And yeah, so it's definitely taken on many, many lives. And I'm sure you have this experience too, as long as you've lived here, right?
Yeah.
Having, you know, driving through different areas and be like, oh, that was the time that I was.
Oh, totally.
You know, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
The hardest part, I think, about this city, I mean, in terms of like, obviously there's plenty of, the hardest part about the positive things about living here is like wanting to have more contact with people from various parts of that.
Yes.
Is because it's because we're very blessed to, for as much as there's like silly and tough things about being here, we're very blessed to be in a place where we're constantly, if we're lucky, and if we're putting ourselves out there in some way, like constantly meeting new people that we're like, you're wonderful. Yeah. Where have you been? Oh my God.
Yes.
You know, it's hard, especially if you're somebody who likes to be inside a lot and
which
be alone
I am.
A lot, which
I,
we
and
both
I've
are.
I've become way more of an introvert, you know, after having Evan, and I'm married to a guy that's kind of an introvert, and you know, and so I have to really fight that because I get energy from both, you know, so I have to find the balance because since I've had Evan, I really, you know, I miss seeing my certain friends in certain communities, and but it takes, you know, you have to invest time and go to people's shows and do things that, you know, I, for a while there, and I still feel this way. I don't like going out of the house after 9. I like being in bed and going to sleep.
I know.
You know, and maybe that's just, you know, time of my life, you know, and it'll shift back. But I hear you. Yeah. And even like you, like I can't believe how long we've lived in the city together and how few times we've actually hung out.
I know.
Yeah.
I think there's a sense too of like the more I feel I know someone, or the longer, then the less I worry about it, which also sucks.
But
because in a way, it's like, you know, it's like, well, don't take for granted the person that you've known for decades.
Yeah, yeah.
And be like, we've already made it this far.
We've already done it. We don't have to,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're, it's signed, sealed, delivered. We don't need to. Yeah. There's nothing more we need to do here.
In fact, it's a good idea to keep it sealed. It's delivered, but in case you need to prove something later in a court of law, it'll be unsealed. Then it will be unsealed, and all the evidence will come tumbling out.
Let's not fuck with it.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
Hey, it's Jesse Thorne. We're very happy to announce that tickets for Max FunCon 2020 will go on sale Friday, November 29th at 11 a.m. Pacific. I also want to let you know, this coming year, Max FunCon 2020 will be our last Max FunCon for the foreseeable future. For 2020 and beyond, we're going to be looking for ways to connect with more of you in person and spread the spirit of Max Fun farther than it's ever gone before. In the meantime, if you want to join us at the last Max FunCon in Lake Arrowhead, June 12th through the 14th, you can find details at maxfuncon.com.
All right, listen, I got to get into this MASH game.
Oh, gosh. I've listened to your podcast.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
But did you play MASH?
No.
So that was like a thing.
When would I have played MASH?
I don't know.
When we were younger.
When we were kids.
I'm sure I did, at some point. But I don't remember. I know. I had such a strong reaction.
You were very angry with me. To then come back around and be like, oh, yeah. Oh, the thing that it was most likely you meant? Yes, then yes.
So
what? No!
What? Fuck you!
Why would I believe?
Of course.
Yes, naturally. Naturally. I'm not a fool.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, good. Well,
so we're
then,
playing it, I guess.
We're playing MASH.
Okay.
Let's do, first category will be three existing characters that you wish that sort of, we sort of, yes, in this universe, those people got to be those people. But in this alternate universe, you get to originate a character. And I'm basing this off of the Sweeney Sisters. And then you honor those things from your youth, or if there's someone, there's like a character now that you're like, oh God, what a great character.
Oh gosh. That I would get to play?
Yeah.
It's funny, the first thing that came to mind, this is so cliche at this point, but I just started watching Fleabag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's a brilliant actress.
Yeah, she really
is. I actually don't think I could pull it off. But in this alternate universe.
You're damn right you can.
Fuck yeah, I can.
I'm just going to put down Fleabag. I recognize that that's not her name.
No, yeah, what is her name?
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Fleabag.
Ms.
I want to say like Naomi. No, it's not Naomi.
Yeah.
Oh, Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant the character's name. I could have told you. Yeah, I could have told you.
Oh, you know what? Look, you're Phoebe like, I know her name.
No, but only because she was like nominated for Emmy.
Yeah, of course.
All the reasons someone should know. No, I'm totally kidding.
Oh, okay. The character.
Yeah, I can't remember the character's name.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I can't either. So Fleabag it is.
Let's do Fleabag.
Two more.
Oh, gosh. Two more.
Or like even if you were like one of the ladies on the Saturday Night Live era that we really grew up, like the Sweeney Sisters era, like, like Nora Dunn tended to play characters that I would have been like, yes. Or like, I think Jan Hooks, maybe for both of us.
Jan Hooks,
like, you know what
sure.
I mean?
That's
just to be
one.
Kind of, okay.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Find my next one, too.
Okay, great. We'll do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Jan Hooks.
And also you can gender bend, you know, because there were definitely things where there were just fewer women who were, and there still are, but, you know, things that you're like, oh man, I would have like, my go-to would be like, oh, Kevin Kline, and like,
Oh, Kevin Kline,
right? Like one of his like fish called Wanda roles or something.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
that character would be so fun to play. Oh yeah.
Now I'm just doing this for you.
Now you really are. Yeah. You can just answer all of them for me.
Do you want to go?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll call you and I'll tell you, yeah.
Just let me know how it turns out.
Okay, it's going to be great. Okay, next category is three places in the world that you would like to have a vacation home. If getting there, it doesn't matter if you've ever seen it in person. And also getting there, it's like everything's sort of equal.
Okay. Southern Italy, like, again, cliche, but the Amalfi Coast.
Yeah.
I love Italy. How about New York penthouse? Montana.
Oh, beautiful.
Give me a ranch in Montana.
Right?
Come on.
I do love it up there.
Right?
Wonderful.
Why is it? It's just so gorgeous.
Yeah.
I daydream about I'm sure I'd be bored after 10 minutes, but God.
No, I have those same conversations with myself too, where I'm like, but maybe I would, but would I? Or do you just sort of adapt and become a different new version of yourself
Maybe.
Who's like, no, this is good.
Yeah. Like what do you do there though? That's the thing.
I mean, I think you
start a local theater company.
Listen, we always have that
option.
Don't
put it past me.
We always have that option. I do think about that. I'm like, what's a small place?
Will you come up and perform if
we're
doing
it? Someone would trust me that I know what I'm doing. Because there's a lot of places that would not fly.
That's not true. You could go
anywhere.
But if
you find the right, small place that where there's still enough expendable income for people to be able to afford to keep you in business.
That's true.
So the window narrows.
It does, you're
but
right.
But I do feel that someplace like Jackson Hole would be like, listen, people have money to burn.
They've got some
and you
money.
Open a little private theater company.
There must be one up there now, right?
I mean, there's no reason it couldn't
good theater up there.
An accident couldn't befall that building or the owner. Okay. Next question is three foods that in this reality are either fattening or it's like, oh, I want to eat all of this, but like I'll feel sick afterwards.
But you can't.
Anything like that, or something rare, like, when I was in Italy, I had this one thing. And like, I wish I could have that whenever I wanted.
Okay. How about bolognese. I would love just as much pasta as I can possibly get my hands on with bolognese sauce.
Great.
A ragu, that ragu kind of whatever that is. Yeah. Because I can't have red sauce.
I can't either.
I have acid reflux now.
Is
that a new thing for you?
It's not that new for me.
Oh, okay.
I'll say that's probably been for the last like 15 years.
Really?
Yeah.
From stress?
Maybe.
This could be cut out, right? Yeah.
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 Maybe. But also like garlic and onions do the same thing.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. For me, it's the last year and a half, but it was from stress. It's yeah. from a really stressful yeah. couple weeks I had. Yeah. That's interesting. But so many people have it. I'm so shocked so when I bring it up. It. So many people have it. Yeah. yeah.
So many people.
So yeah. So that's one of the things. Chocolate. Like, right. God. Yeah. All the chocolate. Oh no. Chocolate chip ice cream.
Oh, okay. Great.
That's what I would love. Haagen-Dazs chocolate chip.
Great.
And cheese.
Yeah.
With a big cheese platter.
Yeah.
Brie.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brie. Yeah.
Just Brie. Mm-hmm.
All the rest.
Just a big old slab of smoking hot Brie. That sounds so gross.
Burning your tongue on Brie burns. Is the saddest thing to imagine.
It's not comfortable.
Okay, listen. All due respect to Aaron. I know. My heart breaks to ask. But this is an alternate universe.
My heart breaks to ask.
I'll never forgive myself for this, but three people that you would want to have romantic times with in an alternate universe, living or dead, real or fictional. That you'd want to F.
That I want to F. oh, God, that I want to get down with.
Or
three people? Like, just random? Is this that thing where, like, someone's, like, says their neighbor and it's awkward? Like, it's not...
Yeah, yeah don't no, say... we're not doing First that. Of all, don't say my neighbor.
Can you imagine? I'm like Janet Second Barney. Is this I'm awkward? Ready.
This was a...
We are in a bedroom.
This is what I was trying to get at. I don't give one shit about your past. I am running a very specific con. Yeah, or it could be like, oh, listen, in this alternate universe, maybe I don't want to spend, like, this is a person that I maybe would just settle down with and grow old with. Like, it could be any version of that. Yeah. But yeah, it could be like, you know, Tom Hanks' character from blah, 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 or, you know, Willy Wonka. Yeah. Don't say Willy Wonka.
I'm not going to say Willy Wonka. Okay. But Tom Hanks, what was he adorable in? I don't want to say big.
What wasn't he adorable
I know,
in?
Back in the day. Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, great.
For sure, great, Sleepless great. In Seattle.
Yeah.
Loved that character, architect. Mark Ruffalo. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you what character. Maybe just Mark Ruffalo, yeah. just on his own.
Listen, I've said this before, but I saw him at a nursery getting plants with a child, and I was like, "Oh, you are the epitome of what anyone would hope you would be, not on screen.
Oh, wow!
Like just a great dad.
Oh no, like, okay. Yeah, is he real charming. Short? Real short?
He's not that short.
Okay,
perfect for you, possibly too short for me.
Probably, yeah. Most guys are too short for
me. Yeah.
How old are you? How tall are you? I was like, how old are you? How tall are you? I mean, how old are you? How tall are you? I mean, tall. I meant tall. okay, one more.
Yeah.
Jesus. Jesus Christ.
Ask and answer.
I mean, he's pretty hot.
You just intrigued
talking
yourself.
About the past. Well, no, yeah. It's funny. It's I'm because thinking about yeah. like a movie I haven't seen in a million years. What's the movie with Malkovich and... Pfeiffer.
Oh my God, Dangerous Liaisons.
Yes.
We were obsessed with that movie.
Is that why?
We were obsessed with that movie.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I remember.
No, I was obsessed with it, and we watched it. I think maybe we were all together.
Maybe we did.
We were like doing a sleepover at Martha's. We were like pausing it. We were pausing to see. Yeah, because John Malkovich was so scary and sexy and grown up and like.
So
evil
amazing.
And delicious.
Yes.
And that performance was so yes. amazing. I remember pausing it and being like, look at this
yes.
expression.
Yes.
That's like five expressions in one.
Is that why I just had that memory? Because I haven't thought
and
about that.
I think
that
it must have been because
years.
I immediately knew why you were okay. what you were talking about and how.
Yeah, so that's okay.
fantastic.
Good old Malkovich.
Fantastic. Okay. Next category, three movies that you can pop into and just be in the world. It's not Ooh. That you're reliving the plot, it's just getting into that place.
Oh gosh, this is kind of embarrassing. Something's got to give.
Fantastic.
For the Paris scene and for the Hampton scene and the New York scene, I want to be in all those worlds.
Please, I have I'm no problem with that
there.
Movie.
Yeah, do you like that movie?
Adorable.
Okay, good. Thank yeah. you. Aaron makes fun of me. When Harry Met Sally, I think I want to be in New York. What else? Staying Alive.
Uh huh.
Or Chorus Line. But they both have like a similar thing happening.
Yeah. Is Staying Alive the sequel or Saturday Night Fever?
It's the sequel.
Okay.
John Travolta.
Rest assured.
Have you seen it?
You give me such unbroken eye contact.
Have you seen
you were
it?
Like, let me tell you something. You think I'm talking about the original.
Tell me
Get
you've
ready.
Seen it.
I'm not.
Tell me you've seen
I've
it.
I've never seen it.
You're kidding me.
I haven't.
Do yourself a favor.
Okay. Staying Alive. I'm putting that down. Screw A Chorus Line.
Oh my gosh. It is so good.
Okay. Amazing.
It is so good. I saw it too many times as a kid. That was one of those like movies that I saw an embarrassing amount of times.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Next category. Let's do three skills that you wake up with tomorrow and you sort of downloaded Matrix style. Like, oh, I just am an expert at this. Ooh. I didn't even have to train.
Oh, that's fun. Okay. Just like multi-language person.
Great.
I can just speak any language. Pick it up. And I can play instruments.
Yeah.
I can play the piano. I can play guitar.
Great.
Reading music is the same thing, right?
Yeah, that comes with it. We'll say that.
We'll say it comes with. I'd like to have a stronger singing voice. That kind of goes with the music thing, though, doesn't it, in a way? Because that's an instrument. No?
Yeah, I would say singing and instruments, we could say, are different.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Okay, great.
Just a real strong, powerful voice.
Things I could do.
Then go with a boy. By the way, did I sing that to you?
Yes.
I did, didn't I?
I think so.
Didn't I like make you sit down with a mic? We both had mic. You had to sit down.
Yeah.
And then I grabbed the mic and started doing this weird with my like weird pencil skirt on and the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a better, even that was, she got to sing a better song.
Yeah, I know. Rizzo is pretty badass. Yeah.
It's Dr. Channing.
No, because I think it's after I leave the room, you then, Sandy sings some song. Don't you sing some ballad right after? You probably do.
Was it Hopelessly Devoted? Which isn't in the music, but then we were like, we gotta put it in.
That's right.
We gotta put it in.
Yeah, she did all the like, she put all the like stuff from the movie in there. Yeah. Like she was almost like doing the movie instead of the musical.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So funny.
It's what they wanted. She gave the people what they wanted.
She did. She gave them what they wanted, and they were very happy about it.
What a crowd
pleaser. Two performances we did.
Yeah. It was two.
Rehearsed for months and did two.
Oh, that's tough. Okay, let's do three. Three soundtracks as made for you by any singer, songwriter, musician, composer, doesn't matter. But imagine three people whose music you love who are like, I've written 12 songs that are for you that will capture sort of the mood of you like in your day to day and like just to kind of give it a cinematic feel.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that would capture my day.
Well, you know what I mean?
Or is it just someone I love?
I mean, I'm not saying they have to be a person who like they capture. I mean, like this, like music that you would want to sort of like have accompanying you in your life.
Oh, I mean, lately I'm really loving Melody Gardot.
Okay.
I mean, she has nothing to do. I mean, her music does not look like my life though, but I mean, I would love to hear it.
I'd love to hear it.
Stevie Wonder.
Great.
James Taylor.
Great. He'd be like, got to go pick up my son.
Driving down the 5 freeway. The 130. I can't even do it.
All we did was just ensure that everyone knows that LA is just a series of freeways. That's all it is. Just getting in your car.
That's all you do. You just get in your car and
watching
hop on
the sun go down.
Freeway.
Wonderful. Okay. And last category, three times in your life that you would like to be able to go back just to be tickled by. It's not going to make you sad. It's just like three things in your life that you would like to go, moments that you would like to go back to as sort of inspired by the idea of us being able to go back and watch ourselves in Greece.
Oh my God. I would love to see that. Oh man, this is hard.
Yeah, this is, I came to play.
Oh, you did. I know you are not screwing around today.
You think I'm gonna take it easy on you, my friend?
Like you saying that in the position you're in right now is so funny with your socks and you're like leaning against the pillow. I came to play. T-shirt on.
Oh God, what an idiot.
What an idiot. Fanny pack. Oh gosh, Janet. Okay, moments I'd like to go back to be tickled by or to just be sort of just to revisit.
Just
to
revisit.
Oh, man.
I just didn't want to like say that, you know, you're going to go back and something's going
to
break.
Do I have to say like the moment my son was born? I mean, that's like,
I mean,
obligatory sort of.
It can be.
I don't want to go back there.
I was going to say go further back than that. Like this is you as an adult.
Oh, okay.
This is like. almost like, do I really remember that right? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I have some of those. Like, well, we're talking about the house thing. I suddenly flashed quickly to my dad's, like our family friends who I think they were, because they weren't wealthy, but they made some sort of investment that they thought was like, oh, you invest in real estate. Like, that's what you do, right? Yeah. And so for like a minute, they had this, what I remember as being a mansion in Phoenix, like because they hadn't furnished it yet or anything. And I remember being like allowed to like wander the rooms. And in my mind, there was a grand ballroom. I'm telling you right now, it was probably like an unfurnished like dining room. You know what I mean? But I would love to go back and see, like, so what was that house was like? Like, what have I made it be?
Oh, that's so funny.
Versus what was it really?
I think I would love, in that vein, then I think I would love to go back to my first childhood home in Philadelphia.
Great.
Yeah. Because I imagine that being this just incredible house. And that's what my family was all together. No, I'm kidding. I would love to go back. I don't know why I keep flashing to this memory of like, I think because we were talking about junior high and the choreographing, but I used to choreograph in my backyard with like my boom box and like, and I always think of it like the dead of winter, like I'm like Rocky or something, you know, but I had have like my, I'd be all bundled up and like out there. And that was the only place I could dance because we didn't have room in the house.
Oh, please. That's adorable.
So that would be funny to see that. Yeah. To see what that really looked like.
Great. And then final one.
Oh, geez. Oh, God, this is such a weird memory. And I don't even know if I'd want to see this, but when I was in seventh grade, I had like amazing slash nightmare experience. Do you remember, and they might not have done this by the time you got there, but they used to pick a king and a queen and a prince and a princess.
Mm-hmm.
So for seventh graders, it was prince and princess. Right?
Oh, the school would vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I got chosen for princess. And you no see the pictures, which, by the way, that this fits into your version of me, which I still don't buy.
Yeah.
Because I still, even at the time, was like, huh? You know, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
But it was a nightmare experience for me. And and there's only one picture, which I haven't seen in ages, but it's in like some yearbook. But I look so unhappy. So I would love to just see like what the hell was happening.
Yeah.
Because I remember being so uncomfortable and being like, my friends are going to hate me. Like, I just remember thinking like, this is like the worst.
And you think that they stopped it maybe the next year?
I feel like they did.
Because I have no memory of that.
Yeah, I think they must have.
No memory of that.
Yeah, because I don't remember it happening my eighth grade year.
God, I almost have the name of the production that you were wearing a pirate outfit in that I wasn't even in. I have it on the tip of my tongue.
Oh my gosh.
Because I was so envious that it was before my time.
Right. It really was a whole pirate thing. Are you sure?
Or maybe it was in my time, but I wasn't in musical theater.
No, it wouldn't have been, because that would have been a Copley thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
It was like Chips Ahoy. No, that's not what it is.
But something like that. You're right. There was something like that.
It's like, land ho!
Oh, now I feel like I need to find someone that would have been in that and figure out what that was. Land ho! Yeah, what was it?
I don't know. I don't know why I remember. I mean, there's no reason I should know.
I'm not even convinced it was a ship themed show, though.
I swear you were dressed as a pirate. What a weirdo I am.
That's so funny.
All right.
You have a better memory than me, so I'm sure you're right.
So.
No, I think you do.
Maybe I have. I mean, is it possible that I wouldn't have a yearbook of it, though, because it would have been before my time.
And we wouldn't have done that. Went with Paige. Yeah, it was Paige.
Okay, tell me when to stop.
Has anyone ever let this go just for a good five minutes? stop.
I'm going to pause this. It will seem as if no time has passed to the listener.
Oh, this
and I will come back with your 100%
good hour
guaranteed.
Will go by.
MASH future.
Okay.
All right, listen. I've never exhaled so loudly and weirdly I had an asthma attack real quick. Okay, first of all, I want to congratulate you. This makes sense, actually, because, you know, mansion, apartment, shack, house, right? So you got apartment, otherwise known as a New York penthouse.
Watch out.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What
so
part
much.
Of New York do you think your penthouse is in?
Ooh.
What if you're like Times Square?
Yeah, Times Square, right in the middle of town. Can you imagine?
Really?
Upper West Side, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but I would take Soho.
Yeah. That I gotta tell you,
West
something.
Village
that toilet keeps. No? Yeah, I know. There's a lot.
That toilet is disgusting.
I am pleased with that answer.
Are you pleased with it?
Any one of those, I'm great with. I also want to congratulate you on... Well, you know what? I'm going to insert this right in here because it also makes sense. So you're at your penthouse in New York.
Yeah.
And you suddenly realize that you did promise to meet Tom Hanks at the top of the Empire State Building. So there you go.
I love that.
And
I
then you bring him back to your beautiful place and then happily ever after with a big heart shaped on the lights of the Empire State Building. You're going to be so happy that you're going to start singing a song about it. And he's going to be like, girl, you got pipes. That doesn't necessarily sound like something he would say in that movie.
No, not even a little bit.
But you will have pipes, girl.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting.
Yeah, you got singing. Oh, wonderful, man. Wonderful singer.
Oh. Go to Marie's Crisis and belt one or two out.
If that's something that you want to do.
Because that's down the street from my house.
It's down the street.
If I'm in the village.
And by the way, unlimited pasta.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
Unlimited
really?
Pasta. Yeah.
I literally had to interpret that. I was like, wait, what is she? I'm trying to read her lips.
What could she
I have
mean?
No idea what she's
what
saying.
What could she mean?
Unlimited
pasta.
Like, Janet's having a stroke. She's having a stroke.
You get unlimited pasta, is my point.
Oh man.
You also, if you listen, what is happening? There's such a
Whoa.
Theme here. Because
there,
even the pasta makes sense
like a theme
within
New
the New York.
Yeah.
You also can go whenever you want into the movie Something's Gotta Give, which also gets
Is that because
like
all
Martha
of my answers
Vineyard
were New York?
And...
They're probably
no.
they're all New York. Okay.
No. In fact, you also get to revisit your Philly home.
Oh.
You get to see
your train
and visit
right away.
Your train right
okay.
away. As you're sitting on the train thinking about those times and imagining what's going to be like when you visit your old home in Philadelphia, Melody Gardot is going to be playing. As she will anytime
perfect.
You want her to.
That's
and
perfect.
Yeah, and do a soundtrack to your life.
By the way, she's from Philly.
Is she really?
Interesting.
This is very interesting. And then what I would consider to be the wild card, but any one of these would be the wild card. If you originating, I guess Saturday Night Live would have been less a wild card. That would have kind of completed this
that
weird
would have.
Pattern.
Oh, damn.
I personally am very pleased that you originated Kevin Kline's role in A Fish Called Wanda. That feels like
what?
A success for everyone.
Oh my gosh.
It feels like
this is
that's
amazing.
A treasure for me as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's your MASH future, my dear.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen, huh? Let's make it happen.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, some of it.
Some well.
I don't know if you want to leave your marriage. For a,
Tom Hanks now.
For a fictitious
really,
person, you will be hospitalized if you stay up there waiting for him to show up.
Definitely.
At the Empire State Building.
Definitely.
Danielle Weeks, what a pleasure.
Gina
I love
Barney.
You.
I love you too, girl.
Is there anything you want people to know about, places to find you if you enjoy the social media?
I don't do a ton of it, but I do Instagram more now.
Okay, good. If you want.
I'm being forced to. At Danielle Weeks 1111.
1111.
So check her out. And then there's a show that Miranda and I wrote that
nice.
It has an Instagram handle and a website, and that's at Baby Love Series.
Great.
BabyLoveSeries.com. Check it out.
BabyLoveSeries.com. Guys, thank you so much. I'll go back to my regular voice now that the podcast is over. So I guess I'll talk to you guys next time on the podcast. Danielle, thanks so much. Tucson
thank
accents
bye-bye.
Out. The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.